Actually true. I mean, the Midwest mentality, I wouldn't trade that with anybody. South Dakota people don't work hard. I mean, I don't even consider them as part of the Midwest. And it shows every day.
Oh, God. Here we go.
So, because you work hard and you're doing all these road trips, I mean, it's not easy getting in a car and driving to a different location. Someone has to do it, don't they?
You put your best foot forward. They tell you where to be. You get there. You hope that you can expense it and see it within about 6 months. You won't see it, though. I mean, I guarantee you won't see it.
You're going to the wrong person.
Huh? Yeah.
Trust me, you got to go to Janet.
Yeah, you know the ropes around this building. Uh-huh. Not this building. Cumulus.
Yeah.
I don't know this.
Janice is the good stuff.
I think that.
Janice or Shelley, don't deal with anybody else.
Next year, I know what the deal is on parking.
So with all that time that you're putting in on the job and you with your health club and the whole bit that you're doing, how do you escape? What do you guys do to escape?
You know what? There are not many hours. Go ahead.
I do a lot of drugs.
Oh, do you really? Seriously?
No.
There's a standing ovation here at Hubers.
No, but what I like to do, I live right by the Les Bulstead Golf Course, University of Minnesota Golden Gopher Golf Course. I like to get out and hit some balls a lot. There's my local establishment. We call Stouts. It's called Stouts. We talk about it all the time, Snelling in Lexington. I like to go there and pick up ladies and have a couple of drinks. I love riding my motorcycle, have a dog, nieces, which are fantastic. Other than that, just trying to keep up with the superstar. I mean, for a guy who is, one and a half my age? Something like that?
Two and a half your age, I would say.
He goes like he's 21.
I'm a go-getter, is what I am. I go get on the couch. after Friday, it takes a couple days for me to recharge my old carcass, but I'm 54 now, and still lift with all the guys that I train. So it's a pretty full week for me in the mornings from about 5:30. Until about 10:30 in the morning. I train about 10 or 12 people, and that'll be bigger when we get this other place up and running. But that's that's still coming. We expect to have a full-scale Milo strength facility, brand new, built from the ground up, complete with a moat, I might add.
For me?
For you to swim in while we're lifting weights.
Perfect.
Very nice.
And we'll have that done before 2016. For sure. We'll have it in the ground. But then it's, on the weekends, Horse and Hunt Club. I have four kids. I have a granddaughter. Happily married, my gal. We do movies. We eat out date night tonight. Wednesday's date night. So we always pick a different restaurant and go on Wednesday night. So
perfect.
It's fun.
Granddaughter, how old?
Three. Turned three April 12th.
I'm a first-time grandfather with an 8-month-old, Olivia.
Congratulations.
Olivia Rose.
Nice.
And it's just really been fun.
Oh.
And the kids thing, whether they're small or they're adults or whatever.
It's the best ever.
It is.
The best ever. It's the missing piece.
Yeah.
That I enjoy the four kids and the raising years, but having now this little one that I can, I can pick her up and pat her a little bit and play with her and get her on the floor and play with some toys and then send her home.
Yeah, rile her up, and if she poops her pants, that's my favorite thing because I'm not a grandpa, but I'm the next closest thing, which is an uncle, which is what I always wanted to be.
Sure.
I always wanted to be a grandpa, but you have to have your own kids for that to happen.
That's a key thing.
I don't necessarily know that, like, all that responsibility and all that, taking all my money and all that stuff, but nieces are fantastic the same way, too, because you rile them up, you get them all
sugar,
you buy them things, you do this, you do that, they poop, there you go.
They poop, and you give them back to their parents.
I don't do poop very well.
Nobody does.
Honestly, I'm one of the best at the it's like being on a pit crew with me. When one of the kids, I can take care of a blown up diaper that ends up down to the ankles and then up to the neck.
Why?
And I can do it in two wet wipes.
What?
I'm that good. A father of four.
You have personal experience.
Yeah,
as well,
I mean, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's happened to you a couple of times.
Depends for that reason.
Well, it depends, but it's true.
I'm wearing them right now.
Honest to God, we'll go to the Twins game. We'll go to Target Center here where the KG came back, and people are always coming up to the superstar asking him, "Hey, I know you from either the Vikings, the Dodge commercial on TV. They see him all
there
the time from the radio, obviously. But if you're wondering when you're walking next to him or talking to him, you hear that,
the squishes.
That's
the biggest problem with that is when I buy him, it says. from 30 to 35 pounds. And that's the size of the kid that you're supposed to put in them. I thought it was the maximum capacity of what... I thought you take them, you change them when you dump in them for 35 pounds. So I have one on for like 3 weeks, which is a problem.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what to
Look
say.
Look what you're bringing out here, Jim Lundy.
I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I'm telling you the truth. And
it doesn't surprise me. I mean, you're...
I have a new Superstar Legend series, too, of my own Depends diapers with a star with 68 on the back of the diaper.
Oh, good. That's fantastic.
You can pick some of those up when you get my age.
Okay, I don't need any, but thank
well,
you.
I'm done. Since September 3rd to April 15th, I just want to say thank you for all your efforts
and
helping our brands. It works. Working with the Ticket 105, it is a business guy. It's a very positive thing for us, and getting to know you guys just that little bit, and hopefully some of your listeners have. God, I hope they don't shoot at me for bringing this part of the thing up about the Depends. You know, that kind of came out of the field.
I want people to know. I want people to know, and I'm very...
Heck, if it sells beer, rip beer, then by all means, let's talk about poop.
And we like to have a lot of fun on this show, obviously, but this is the best root beer I've ever had. This is the best root beer I've ever had, and
I can confirm that.
I've had six of those in one night that you gave me. I drank those in my weight room in one night.
But what did
God,
you?
That
I, mean,
was
I
good.
Hope you did it correctly because you gave us a sampler pack. You had the North Lake Sunny Brown Lager.
That's what
you
I had.
The ice. I think you had the and then you had the Golden Lager.
But I just had the one. I just had the one six pack.
No, there was a sampler pack. There were three different kinds in there. Why are you
I did not get that. I'm telling you, I had all six of mine were honey brown lagers.
Well, you get a prize or something for that.
I should think so. And what did you have in mind?
Maybe I'll find that sweatshirt that's around the corner.
I just want you to know that this is, Killebrew, just the name, by the way. And my own story about Harmon, and
right.
Just it brings back so many memories when I see a Killebrew root beer sitting out in front of me like I have right now, and Harmon, I knew him. I knew him a little bit, and it was a lot of fun. He was a lot of fun, I also got a bear hug from Harmon Killebrew, and he did the what do you call them, noogies on top of the head. He started just ripping my hair with his knuckles.
No.
Yeah.
How could he reach that high? I mean,
he pulled me down. Harmon was a big dude. He really was, and he grabbed me around the neck and pulled me down.
Wow.
He gave it to me.
Yeah. Great product.
Wonderful
Jim
guy.
Lundin, thank you so much for everything that you help us out with and for keeping my whistle wet with North Lake Sunny Brown Lager and, of course, the best ripper I've ever had, Killebrew Ripper. You can find these, obviously, at Target Field, right?
Yes,
sir. At here at Hubert's, and also at CHS Field for the St. Paul Saints that open up here a little over a month away now.
May 23rd.
Yeah, brand new stadium in St. Paul, Lower Town, so you can find all your favorite North Lakes beer and Killebrew Ripper at those fine establishments.
And actually, we're sponsoring the Saints every year. We sponsor a barnstorming game that... the town teams play, and it raises funds for the baseball communities in these towns. Last year was Anoka. This year it's Owatonna.
Oh, great.
And so we're trying to spread the wealth. So
awesome.
Gentlemen, thank you.
And you bet, absolutely. And I wanted to, real quickly, your baseball camp, your fantasy baseball camp, yes. when do you kick that off again?
That's January 9th.
January next
camp.
Year, okay.
Yeah, yep.
But that's a lot of preparation that goes into that, I'm sure.
A lot of work.
Year-round, I'm sure.
Yeah, a lot of work.
Oh, good luck with that.
I take your team that you put together against these real twins, and I put my money on you guys.
Well, don't put much down.
Jim Lundin, everybody.
Thank you.
We're going to take a little break. We are here at Hubert's. The last time here this for the Wolves, because they're done tonight. Wolves Wednesday. Thanks to sponsors Killebrew Root Beer. We just talked about that. North Lakes, Honey Brown Lager, both on sale, both on tap. Get on down here and have a couple 13, 14 with Ben Holson. He's already at about 13, 14. And I'm guessing maybe
James.
We'll bring Jim Rich into the picture.
Sure.
It's about that time, isn't it? Do we have to?
Yeah.
All right. I guess Jim Rich then. Radioactive Sports next.
Your home for hockey talk in the Twin Cities, On the Ice, hosted by Pete Wagner of MinnesotaHockeyMag.com and Chad Graff of the St. Paul Pioneer Press.
How hard is it to be one of those fringe guys and know, Chad, that this is an all-in situation with this group?
Absolutely. I mean, guys like Matt Cook know that after he's been out for a while, knows that if his game slips a little bit come playoff time, there are lots of guys that can replace him.
On the Ice, hockey talk every Saturday morning at 9, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. Feel that? Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket.
What we're looking for is momentum in the playoffs, and power play, penalty kill, special teams always plays a huge role, and the importance of penalty kill in the playoffs, being successful in the penalty kill, is enormous.
It's so true. I mean, the special teams, it's crucial that you have that you can secure a good snap, number one. That's the most important part of it. And then, of course, you want to make sure that the L5, the L3, the L2, the L1 on kickoff return and kickoff cover.
I don't know what you're saying, but yeah. L2, L1.
Mike Yo was talking about special teams. It's the only special teams I know.
Oh, but I didn't get the L2, L1. I mean, the only L1 and L2 that I know is PlayStation 4.
Wait. Don't get me all riled up here. I mean, we got to start talking some special teams then. You don't know what kickoff cover, L5, L4?
I only know L1, L2, I think L3 as well, but that's only on my PlayStation.
Well, there's an R5, R4.
Well, I know R1, R2, R3 on my PlayStation
as well. And you probably know R2-D2 as well.
Oh, I do know R2-D2.
Do you know Jim Rich?
Heard of him.
Jim? I hope he's there. Jim Rich, you there?
I'm here. I'm just writing this great knowledge and information down.
Yeah. Well, you know, did you know anything about anything that I said? Probably not.
No, because I wasn't on special teams. I wasn't special enough to be picked.
Well, you are special now. You're on the special team right now. You're on Radioactive Sports, and we're quite special in a weird special way. Not saying that we're the end-all, be-all by any means, but we're quite...
You're damn special.
Quite silly.
But Mike Yo talking about special teams, that's the only thing I can relate to, and I just think that I think the Wild should develop some sort of punt cover. That's all. But what do you think? Tomorrow night's going to be a big night, obviously. They do this thing. They finally get it on. And do the nerves come up, or is it like Stewart said, Christmas Day, and it's finally here, and we get to go out there?
They are going to be going through the roof on those first shifts. When they hit the ice for the start of the game and for warm-ups, they basically come out and their skates barely touch the ice. The start of the Stanley Cup playoffs, I mean, think about this. You started training for this last July. That's how long you've worked to just give yourself a chance at winning a Stanley Cup. So, you know, it's the same thing with football. You know what it's like when you finally get that opportunity to put your hand in the dirt, as they say, and actually get to take a snap in a football game that could lead you to the Super Bowl. The money goes aside. Nobody cares what your teammates make. Nobody cares about what their current contract situation is, whether they're going to be a free agent at the end of the year or whether they got another 10 years to go. It's all about getting that trophy at the end, whether it's the Lombardi or the Stanley Cup.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, it's an exciting time when you finally get that playoff thing. Is a different level. It's a different intensity. The bar goes up, and you thought you were playing fast and playing hard in the regular season. When they say playoffs, and the trucks come to town with the satellite dishes, and they're only covering the best of the best of your league, of your conference. Everything dials up. The national interviews come into town, and you feel it. I mean, there's energy in practice. There's energy in the air when you get down to the stadium to get dressed. And I mean, there's nothing like it. There really is nothing like it. And every step of the way, as you advance through the playoffs, it just gets to be more and more and more. And I never saw that last step, which was the Super Bowl, but I got pretty close.
Right, and so you know exactly what these guys are feeling like. You know, just waiting to get going. I mean, they're impatient yesterday. They've got to be just as antsy today, although now they flew to St. Louis, so they feel they're making progress. They'll get to skate there tomorrow morning, and then just sit around the hotel. And I don't know how they do this. And you know, the NFL, you always started at noon, but they always take a nap on game day. It's like, how? How can you get yourself to shut your body down to take a nap? I would be so through the wall. I'd be in the lobby pacing, looking for the bus to take me to wherever the game was at. I don't know how these guys, oh, yeah, I'm going to go back and take a two-hour nap. It's like, how? How do you do that?
That's amazing. Well, that is amazing. I never realized that.
Part of the routine, though. I mean, I would imagine they do it on game nights because their work. I mean, obviously, I know they're out on the ice skating and whatnot, but then their night starts a little bit later. So what else are you going to do? You going to ret and worry about it or take a little bit of a snoozer? I love taking snoozes. I would take a snooze, too.
I mean, we would do that, too. If it was a Monday night game, you'd
take
have
snooze?
I mean, you get in town the night before on Sunday night. Check into the hotel, the whole thing, the meetings. Then you get up in the morning and you have your first special team meeting and an offensive meeting in my case. And you had literally the rest of the day. You know, you only had to worry about getting something in your stomach at about lunch, and then maybe something a little bit for pregame. But it's a late game, so you do kind of nap it away and just try and watch a movie or something and relax and stay off your feet. And I'm sure that's what they do. And they have to play so many more games than football. I mean, they have to. That's part of their ritual. I'm sure it is. It's part of their system to stay charged and to stay recovered for so many more games that they have played already this season.
82-game season. I mean, it's a long slog. And like Jim Lundin was just talking about from North Lakes Brewing and Killebrew Root Beer, saying the Timberwolves started their season back in September.
Yeah.
And we're going through April. It's a long season. Jim Rich, Fox 9. That's who we're talking to. We talk to him every day at 5:15. The superstar and I down here at Hubert's before the Timberwolves and the Twins both playing tonight. Jim, my question for you is this. Earlier this morning, the St. Louis Blues announced that they're going to start Jake Allen for game one in goal. He played better than Brian Elliott did anyway down the stretch, although Brian Elliott had more chances to face off against the Minnesota Wild this season. What are your thoughts on that goalie situation?
I think that could be an Achilles heels for this St. Louis team. Miller, they made the big trade to bring him in. It didn't work out. They got beat in the first round by the Blackhawks. Miller then left as a free agent. Now they've settled on Elliott and Allen. Elliott was supposed to be the guy. He wasn't able to win the job outright, so they're going to go with an unproven rookie goaltender. And it's much like Dubnyk, who's never been in a Stanley Cup playoff game as a starter either. So you've got two guys here that have never experienced what they're about to walk into. And I think Dubnyk is a lot more comfortable in his skin because he's been through it all in his 5 years in Edmonton. So he knows it'll be different, but not that much different. But for Allen and the Blues, you know, if the Wild can steal game one, put St. Louis on their heels, start putting those thoughts in their head that, uh-oh, here we go again, where we may get bounced in the first round, even though we're one of the top teams in the National Hockey League. That's why game one is so critical, where the Wild can set the tempo. They have to have a power play that's effective because St. Louis is going to try to run them out of the building. They're going to hit everything that moves. They're going to take penalties. When they take those penalties, that Wild power play has to be devastating. They have to score, or else St. Louis will just keep hitting them, and then they'll just turn the tide in their favor.
That got me all so pumped up already. I just want the game to be tonight. Jim Rich, Fox 9. One more quick thing as we're switching gears here. Timberwolves tonight. We're down here at Hubert's for the last game of the regular season. Just 20 minutes ago, according to Yahoo, Timberwolves president and coach Flip Saunders wanted former NBA champion Chauncey Billups to take over as the team's head coach for next season. Billups declined the opportunity, fearing that he could be the fall guy for struggles of the rebuilding team. In fact, he said, quote, in any rebuilding process, I feel like there's probably going to be two or three coaches, and I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be fired after two seasons and never risk ever getting another opportunity to coach. Chauncey Billups, of course, after winning leading the Detroit Pistons to the 2004 NBA title, was readily anointed, basically unofficially anointed, as the NBA's next great coach. Your thoughts on Flip Saunders trying to get Chauncey Billups to coach the Timberwolves next season?
I'm kind of surprised. I think Flip wanted to stay as coach, so at least he's looking to move on. But does this place become the Jacksonville or the Oakland of the NFL that you go there to die? Is that the reputation the Wolves are getting around the NBA, that once you go here, you never come back?
And do you blame them for having that reputation, Jim?
No, no, but I mean, it's kind of funny that somebody actually came out and said that and turning down the job. You know, he could have said, well, family obligations. No, I don't want that job because I know it'll be my last.
Before it's even his first.
That's smart, though. I think Chauncey's really smart for choosing that way. I mean, he wants to make it count to become a head coach, and apparently it's on his mind to become a head coach, and he wants to make that opportunity a good one and in his favor to succeed. And there is so much going on around here still. There really is. It's just so many moving parts. I think it might be moving in the right direction, and I think that maybe after the lottery we might find ourselves with a pretty good player, but I think Chauncey's probably right. It's just not stable enough to come in and give it your best swing as a head coach and not have to delve out authority in three different directions with, like, three coaches. And I think that's probably the case, too. But I'm surprised, Jim. I'm with you. I thought Flip would want this thing for a while until it kind of became, you know, the ship was righted.
And I'm
surprised. I'm really surprised.
Yeah, I didn't think he would actually be out looking for somebody to take over. But can I digress for something here
sure.
for a minute? Okay, Kevin Garnett. We'll stay on the Wolves. But Kevin Garnett is, I don't really understand what he's up to right now. Now, today they told us that he may speak at the shoot-around. Since this is the last game of the year, normally NBA players speak to the reporters. Well, he was there, and he just blew right by all the reporters and cameras back to the locker room. You know, they hold you out a shoot-around. You can't watch it. I don't understand that either. I mean, what are you doing? You're shooting basketballs. Hockey, they let you watch the whole thing. Baseball, you can watch them hit fly balls and catch them all during batting practice. Football, they at least let us in for a little while. NBA, nope. At least with the Wolves, you can't shoot a second of any practice. And they even have, like, curtains, so you can't even look in there. And then, so anyways, it ends. KG blows by all of us standing there. We've contacted the PR department. No, he won't talk tonight afterwards. Okay, here's a guy who's supposedly coming here and wants to be part of ownership, and it's all about soda. Well, what the hell? Why do you not talk to us? How can you not say, oh, my knee's really bugging me. I really wish I was out there. I really like the future. I mean, I don't understand what his end game is here.
I don't either. I mean, was this Chauncey Billups thing, by the way, speaking of Kevin Garnett, is that partly his plan, too, along with Flip, to go get Chauncey?
Well, they both like Chauncey. He played for Flip here with the Timberwolves and then again in Detroit.
Saying. Yeah, and I wondered if that was maybe one of Kevin Garnett's maybe first moves since he's been back along with
But you remember how well that went when Kevin Garnett was making moves and making decisions. The first time he was here with the Minnesota Timberwolves, I wouldn't necessarily go back to that until he's a firm owner in the group because he doesn't make the best, in my opinion, front office decisions. He didn't at least the first time around here with the Minnesota Timberwolves. But, Jim, we've run out of time, my man. Thank you for letting us know your frustrations with Kevin Garnett. We'll take it to heart. We really appreciate that. If there's anything we can do for you, we will let you know.
I'll be over on the couch later, and you guys can give me some more therapy.
It'll be perfect.
Stay off the window ledge.
And get ready for tomorrow. Are you going down to St. Louis tomorrow?
We are not traveling for games 1 and 2.
Okay.
We are watching from afar.
Well, we're going to be pretty heavy with the Minnesota Wild talk tomorrow. Obviously, we're super excited. Game 1, best of 7 series with the St. Louis Blues, Minnesota Wild tomorrow. We can't wait to have you on the radio yet again.
Excellent. Maybe KG will talk by then.
You never know. I mean,
I wouldn't comment.
Just be persistent. I know he likes you anyway, Jim. But thank you for your time, sir.
See you, boy.
All right. Now, Hardball, you thought that was good. You thought that Jim Rich was good? Well, Mike Berardino is even better.
Well,
wait, what am I saying?
In what way?
I can't think of one way.
Well, you know how Jim Rich got fired up? Hello? You know how Jim Rich got fired up?
Yeah, I heard him. I mean, that's unlike him to be that flustered.
If you don't call Mike Berardino a crusty old curmudgeon something or other at the beginning,
right.
He will be a giant biatch.
I know it. So you have to kind of call it out and call your own shot. Yeah. And so we will be joined for Hardball next by the belligerent, cantankerous, crusty, salty dog that he is, Mike Berardino, next on Radioactive Sports.
passionate sports talk.
Teddy Bridgewater.
He throws it pretty deep.
No one better at throwing an accurate football than Teddy Bridgewater. I can tell you that.
No
one more accurate.
Ooh, that's a bold
Aaron Rodgers?
I love that kid throwing a deep football.
On your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
Here for the Minnesota Twins today.
Time to oil up the mitts. It's Hardball with Mike Berardino.
I'm information in the head of here, so I'm willing to learn it.
Definitely excited to have him lead the way.
Get your seam head talk right now on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Robinson's legacy is woven into the fabric of American history. Yes, he broke the color barrier on the diamond, but he continued the fight for civil rights after his much-deserved Hall of Fame induction in 1962.
Jackie Robinson Day.
Jackie Robinson. They're wearing number 42 out there. You don't have to adjust your set or your vision. Yes, everyone's wearing number 42.
But it happens to you every single year, does it not? When you watch TV, you're like, what the heck? Why is Aaron Hicks wearing number 42? He didn't switch, did he? Oh, God, why is Brian Dozier? What?
Look, the pitcher's number is 42, and he's throwing to a batter who's wearing 42. How coincidental is that? Maybe Mike Berardino can straighten this out for us.
Yes. Hi, Mike.
Mike, how are you?
I'm good. How's Ben feeling today? Feeling a little better?
I'll let him answer.
I'm feeling so much better. I didn't get a chance to listen last night. I listened a little bit as I was leaving home in just such wretched pain. I had a migraine. I suffer from migraines, by the way, much like Percy Harvin. Percy Harvin and I are like best buddies when it comes to the migraine deal.
Nice.
I've been to the University of Minnesota, been to the Mayo, been to all this and that, whatnot. It sucks.
Treat it in similar ways?
I have in the past. I also have a nutritionist and some other things, but nothing necessarily seems to work. As I was driving home yesterday, superstar Mike Morse is telling everybody that I'm in jail or that they came and got me.
Yeah, they did.
That's what I felt like. I felt like I was in a migraine jail. But thank God the Twins didn't play last night. I would have hated to miss that game. Of course, Mike Berardino, Hardball, talking Twins baseball every day at 5:30. Brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink. Vitamins have never tasted this refreshing. Jackie Robinson Day just down the street. We're down here at Hubert's, by the way, Mike Berardino. So don't forget to stop by and say hi. We're just a couple of steps away.
I would think you would, too. I mean, you owe us that, don't you?
Yes.
Really? I do?
After all the friendship we've given you, for God's sakes?
If I were to be in the same room with you guys, it wouldn't be out of obligation. I would think it would just be out of pure joy.
I would think that maybe you would stop by and be civilized about this thing and maybe
he's busy.
Find a way to make up.
He's busy.
It's going to happen. It'll happen.
Yeah, well, at some point. Out of the 2 years that we've worked together, Mike Berardino, I don't think I've ever met you face-to-face, but that might be good for me or good for you.
Good for you, Ben, because I think he's the trigger of your migraines.
It could be.
So I think...
It could be. Anyway...
I'm just saying.
Another tough game tonight, Mike. Will you be at the park tomorrow? The superstar and I will be down there at the noon game.
I don't intend to go tomorrow. Brian Murphy's got these 2 days. When you can get an off day... on the baseball grind, you take it and you move on. But I'm paying attention, I'd like to talk about Torrey Hunter hitting second. I think this is a good move by Paul Molitor. Torrey has hit second in 335 games in his career. That's a third all the spots that you can hit in, obviously. He's hit fifth the most. He's been a cleanup guy the second most. But number two is pretty common for him. So to put the toy cannon, Brian Dozier, in the cleanup spot, I think that has potential. And obviously after the 1-6 start, they needed to do something to just roll out the same lineup. Probably wouldn't have been good form. Molitor is open-minded. He said earlier this spring that he thought if they put Dozier in the 3-hole, there was no reason that he couldn't drive in 100 runs. So in the 4-hole, he'll have Maurer in front of him, and who knows what can happen.
I couldn't agree more. How do you feel, superstar? To finally get some bats in some run-producing spots. I mean, Santana, struggling a little bit, but he's still got that speed. Torrey Hunter batting second. Joe Maurer third. I feel like Joe Maurer, I mean, I like he's batting over 300 right now. I like him at that two spot. Dozier, though, batting fourth. Vargas, my guy, after him, batting fifth at the DH. Plouffe, Arcia, Suzuki, Schaefer, then Gibson.
I think it's a pretty decent little lineup. As long as you get some people on base in front of Dozier, I think that you're in good shape. I think that Dozier will be able to drive in a lot of runs, and I think he's good for it.
Real quick question, Mike Berardino. We're running out of time. Who allows more runs tonight, or more points, more runs, whatever you want to say? The Minnesota Timberwolves in their final game of the regular season against the Oklahoma City Thunder, or the Minnesota Twins against the Kansas City Royals?
See, that's why we just don't need to meet face-to-face. It's a
that's the kind of stuff right there. That's the kind of little storm. That's the perfect storm known as Berardino and Holson.
Just I love you, Mike, and you know it.
Pushing the buttons, always. I'm just not going to answer that, but you guys have a nice show.
I guess you're ducking out there.
I love him to death. Mike Berardino, Hardball, talking Twins baseball at 5:30 every day. Thanks, Mike. Brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink Vitamins. I've never tasted this refreshing.
See you guys.
Nicely done. I think if Mike would just join us maybe for the game, you'd be glad to buy him a beer and sure. Make up for all this.
Absolutely.
This hubbub that has been caused, this rift that goes between you two.
I'm buying everybody beers after I've had a couple 13, 14.
Well, I'm thinking that maybe tomorrow might
Thanks
be an interesting show.
Let's call him the Godfather, by the way.
Couple 13, Mike Berardino?
14? No. The couple 13, 14.
Oh.
Anytime we have a chance to quote the Godfather.
Oh, yeah. So we will. It's Mike's break.
Oh, God.
What are we going to do? I got all kinds of stuff I want to talk about. I want to talk about Tyus Jones a little bit more, our local hero. Outstanding player of the men's tournament this year.
That'll be great.
And we can talk about that for a while. You don't want to talk about it, I can tell.
No, I love Tyus Jones. Let's do it.
It sounded like you were being sarcastic.
No, I was kidding. When I was being sarcastic, I was kidding about being sarcastic.
All right, then.
It's all right.
We're going to do that. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about this Chauncey Billups thing, too, a little bit, too.
Yes.
And stay on the balcony. Since we're down here for the last Wolves Wednesday thing, we're going to talk a little bit on both those things and see if we can kick around some good ideas. And you people can join in, too, 651-989-9105. If you want to join the show. And should Tyus Jones be coming out, or should he have stuck around maybe one more year and lifted some weights? And or Chauncey Billups, are you surprised, like we are here at Radioactive Sports, with Flip saying, you want the job? I'm surprised. Give us a call.
Well, how do you think Sam Mitchell feels?
And Sidney Lowe.
And Sidney Lowe. Yeah. Terry Porter. I mean, all the guys.
I mean, I think they kind of thought that they were on his staff because he was grooming.
Yeah. It's interesting, but we'll talk about it.
Interesting enough. Give us a call. 651-989-9105. And you know what? We'll do all of that next on Radioactive Sports.
Hello. Who is this? This band sounds ripping. Did you request this? Did you?
Someone must know my taste. That's Marilyn Manson. That's a little mob scene.
I'm not into satanic worship.
Ooh, my.
I'm not into satanic worship, so I don't necessarily know Marilyn Manson that well.
They got a little giddy up in them.
That song sounded ripping.
They kind of get after a little bit, Marilyn Manson.
One time in Sioux Falls, where I grew up, they had this place called the Pomp Room, which was it's kind of like First Avenue, but it was torn down because local music dies in South Dakota. A lot of things die in South Dakota. It's just what happens. But Marilyn Manson came to play the Pomp Room, and he brought with himself a kitty litter. And he would use the kitty litter to go to number one and number two.
So he's trying to be civilized.
Oh, God.
I got another option for him if he'd like to do something different.
Okay.
Depends.
Well,
shall we go into that?
No, we did that already.
All right, then. We won't talk about that. What we should talk about is this brand new little quirk in our Timberwolf team.
With
Flip Saunders, of all people, I didn't think that he would want to relinquish the head coaching position this soon. And it's not that he's going to have to now, but he did extend the invitation to Chauncey Billups to come in and become the new head coach here. And he was refused. He was turned down.
I think Flip Saunders would get out of the head coaching position if he had somebody that he was comfortable with, like Dave Yeager last year, the coach for the Memphis the Grizzlies. He's a Minnesota native, somebody with maybe ties to the team. I think Flip would get out of there. I think Glenn Taylor would like him to get out of there and maybe just focus on the presidential duties. He's a president, cop. He's the cop, the coach, and
everything.
Operations and president and all this stuff. And so if you could get out of it, I know it's in Flip's blood. And that's why we talk about this all the time. Flip loves he loves being a coach. He's always been a coach. Once a coach, always a coach. I get it. But he wants to pass the torch on to somebody that he believes in. Chauncey Billups, being one of those guys, played for him here
and
in
Detroit.
Minnesota and in Detroit, is supposedly been anointed as one of those next players that should be a great coach in the NBA. My only drawback is and not that it's a drawback to me, because I could really care less about these other guys, but Sam Mitchell and Terry Porter and Sidney Lowe, all of these guys have been head coaches before, and they're joining Flip Saunders' coaching staff this year. You would think to be groomed to be maybe one of the next people, or thinking, I'm Flip's guy. I will be the next guy when Flip decides to step aside, and they'll implement one of us. That obviously not the case where it comes to Flip Saunders' thinking anyways, as of right now, according to Yahoo Sports. And I wonder, it obviously only one game left in the regular season, because they're not going to the playoffs. How Sam and Terry and Sidney think about that.
You have to wonder about that. You have to wonder if that wasn't part of the decision. It was part of the decision with Chauncey Billups. He said, I think that if I took that job, I would be part of maybe two or three people who had the say in the way the team was going to be run. I don't want to do it. I don't want to coach a team like that as the head coach, knowing that Sidney Lowe, Terry Porter, Sam Mitchell were right behind him over his shoulder, basically taking the same responsibilities.
Yeah, no, you're very right. At the same time, I think we talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Oakland Raiders, and where NFL veterans and their careers go to die, or coaches go to die, or this or that. The thing is with Chauncey Billups, and the Minnesota Timberwolves, I mean, they can't get worse than they are right now, right? They're the worst record.
They
in
are the
NBA.
Worst.
So I would think that now is the time to get in if you want to be the coach, you want to be a young coach, you want to get your first shot to continue to grow with the team. Andrew Wiggins and Zach LaVine and Shabazz Muhammad and Ricky Rubio still here, and the rest of the guys and whoever they get with the top four draft pick, and then continue to grow, because as there's progress, you're going to look like the kingmaker. And so why wouldn't Chauncey Billups? Not saying that I think he's the right coach necessarily.
Why wouldn't
he jump on there right now?
And I don't know any more about him as a coach. I don't think, well, none of us do. He hasn't done it yet, but apparently he's a hot ticket. But he doesn't want to do that under the circumstances. He would love to come in here knowing that the only thing that could happen is upside.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to do it with three guys taking full credit for it and being basically a three or four headed monster.
Yeah.
As Flip Saunders puts together a cluster of head coaches or wannabe head coaches. Like Chauncey wants to take over the reins, run things his way. I think if he could come in here and be guaranteed that would be it, that's how it would operate, that he may take the job. But he clearly stated, I don't want to come into that situation.
Which makes no sense to me, because he obviously knows Flip Saunders. He's got a great relationship with Flip Saunders. He knows Glenn Taylor. I would imagine he has a pretty good relationship with Glenn Taylor. He has a great relationship with KG. KG
is
owner in waiting, front office guy in waiting. So I don't see what the problem or the holdback would necessarily be. I get what the words that he said, Chauncey Billups not wanting to be fired in 2 years and never getting a head coaching job again. But I mean, what other place could he get a soft landing with a really talented young team that was injured all year and a chance for immediate growth? I mean, he would look like a savior unless they came in that first year, next year, with everybody healthy, Rubio, Peck, whoever the draft pick is, if they do keep everybody together. They make the playoffs, and then the year after they completely take a nosedive. Obviously, anything can happen in sport, but I don't know.
But how would you feel, though, if you had a guy like Sam Mitchell, who has been coach of the year once with the Toronto Raptors, breathing over, breathing down your neck, and knowing that, he had playing time, he was an experienced player, he's known Flip for a long time. I mean, that'd be a pretty tough...
How long is my contract? Is the money guaranteed?
Well,
all this stuff, and so...
Now, that's it. I mean, that's a good... I'm glad you brought that up, because if they wanted to, if they sweetened the pot, couldn't they get him here anyway?
Yes.
I would think so, too. I really would. I don't know, but he doesn't want to do it. He's already refused the invite. So it looks like we're onward and upward with Flip.
Maybe he's just playing hard to get.
And maybe he is. Who knows? I think I'm playing hard to get.
Doesn't surprise me. I'm playing peekaboo.
I think that we're gonna take another little break. Oh, look at this, though. Wow.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Caller number 10, now at 651-989-9105, wins a pair of tickets to see one of the world's greatest blues guitarists.
I might even say the world's greatest blues guitarist.
Joe Bonamassa.
Yep.
At the Orpheum Theater, April 24th.
Bonamassa? Yeah.
Tickets are on sale at the State Theater box office. Caller number 10. Call right now at 651-989-9105. You sissy pants.
That's not very nice to call people.
Next up, speaking of sissy pants.
That's not very nice to say either.
Tom Schreier from Cold Omaha. He's one of the writers, one of the real, real sissy pants here at 105 The Ticket.
That's not
and when
nice.
He, and, I don't know what's gotten
He's
into me.
He's sitting right in front
I've
of you.
I've had too much to drink.
I know
again.
You have.
But we're going to talk to him a little bit about Andrew Wiggins, what's going on here with the T-Wolves, and anything else that he'd like to talk about, because he rules the school today. Come on back, Radioactive Sports.
105 The Ticket, available on iHeartRadio.
People ask what Omaha means. It's a run play, but it could be a pass play.
Welcome back to Radioactive Sports. We are down at Hubert's for the last Minnesota Timberwolf game. And we'd like to invite you to come on down here for a little while still and join us here at Radioactive Sports. Ben Holson, myself, and Tom Schreier from Cold Omaha.
Tom, I want to lick off my fingers. I just had some buffalo wings.
They look good. I have a quick question.
He didn't ask you that.
Is
it yes or no?
Do I want to lick your fingers? Absolutely not.
Look at them.
That looks good.
Are you sure?
No. That looks good. So quick question.
Okay.
I was introduced as a sissy pants into this.
Segment. I had nothing to do with it.
I know.
That.
I'm well aware. I want to know, you guys have seen all the writers, right? You've seen Brandon. Have you seen Chris?
Yeah.
Or is he?
I have.
Okay. Sam.
Sam Ekstrom.
Who wins in a fight?
Brandon Warren.
Why Brandon?
Because he's a beast.
He is big.
I mean, look at his shoulders. His shoulder's not as big as the superstars, but he's got some big shoulders.
But Chris has about the same size, I'd say. Sam is the smarts, and he could get around, so he could, like, knock you in the back of the head.
Yeah, he might stick and move a little bit.
Sam's
I can see that.
Sam's like a cat if he can get you with one of his claws, but other
poking
than that.
In the eyes.
No, Sam, you just got to turn around and then pet him on the belly and make him go.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
But here, to stand up for myself, I have a good combination of size and speed. I'm not fast.
Speed,
well said.
Huh?
But faster than Brandon, faster than Chris.
Okay.
And I think I could use some physicality. I could throw some elbows.
You want to try something right now?
I think we should have a cage fight, a Cold Omaha cage fight.
A Cold Omaha cage fight.
I love it.
I love it.
Why don't we set that up Saturday, May 23rd.
Oh, that'd be so funny, man. That would be funny.
Saturday, May 23rd, before the St. Paul Saints open the regular season at CHS Field outside Cold Omaha. I think we need to get us. Pat, we're sponsorship.
I'm all about that.
Yeah,
I'm all about it.
Pat.
Pacquiao Mayweather.
Just walk around the corner.
Right here.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But, I mean, can you brawl? I mean, can you roll with some fisticuffs?
I have no confidence in my fighting ability, but I'm just going to go out there, give it my all.
Just claw 100%
effort.
Bring in spoons and pop out their eyeballs.
That's all you can do. Yeah. I mean, first of all, take it from me. Fight dirty.
Yeah. No, I'm down.
I've been in a couple scrum downs. No question. And by the way, talking basketball, did you see the Bleacher Report video piece of Stephen Curry?
Stephen Curry?
Straight.
77 straight threes, 94 out of 100.
He's pretty good, right?
Yeah, not bad.
That's pretty good.
I had to say that.
I
wish I'd known his name.
I could do that back in the day on my little Tykes little thing down in the basement at my parents' house.
Wow.
With a little ball.
Do you want to know something crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Timberwolves could have drafted him.
You want to know so many more crazy things? Tom, why would you wreck my life like that?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Had
Johnny
DeMarcus
Flynn
Cousins.
Probably does the same thing. You don't know.
Of course he can. Of course. I guess we never will know.
Johnny Flynn.
Stephon Curry, though, out of Butler?
No, Davidson.
Davidson, that's right.
Yes, Davidson.
Tom Schreier, tell us about the state of the Timberwolves. Is there anyone other than Andrew Wiggins who could be deemed as untouchable?
I don't know about untouchable. I'll say this. I think Zach LaVine's really come along. He's starting to shoot better.
I do too.
He has some physicality. We talked to him a little bit today and just asked, how are you going to get bigger? And I guess his dad, first of all, I think is building a gym in the place they live or
Zach's
something like
dad?
That. Yeah.
Zach's dad
lives here, I think.
Yeah, Zach's dad comes hangs out at Hubert's before the games usually. The guy we talked to, what's his name? Eric or Josh or Mike or somebody like that. I don't remember what his name is. He's very nice. And I've been hanging out with him every Wednesday. We've been down here, but I can't believe I'm terrible with names. I'm great with faces. But he says Zach's mom and dad come hang out before games here at Hubert's.
Okay.
Yeah.
But over here in one of these booths, and that they're fantastic people and they're very supportive. That's one thing that I love about Zach LaVine and Andrew Wiggins is their families are surrounding
very
them.
Much so.
They're
very
19-year-old kids, and I know Andrew Wiggins is now 20, but coming into the NBA, absolute money corrupts absolutely.